You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
We are in a series, our February series, called Unbreakable. And we are studying or going through the book of Daniel, drawing some lessons really from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Now, Daniel tells us of an incredible story that happened to, and it focuses on four teenage boys, teenage guys, who, when they were still young, something really, really horrible happened to them. Their city, their town, their country was besieged. This was back when they had city-states, right? It wasn't like the whole country had several cities and states. Like one city could be a nation. And that's what happened to Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Their city was besieged. The king of Babylon came in and took everything, including some of the people, the brightest and the best. He took him captive. Now, these four teenagers, by what we see in the scripture, we see that we can deduce that they were capable. They were smart. They were being groomed. They were educated, apt. They were adept. And then the scripture adds another adjective to them, saying that they were without blemish. Right? These were teenagers with clear skins, no zits or moles. They had all their fingers, they had all their toes. You could count them, because they were without blemish. And life was good until their country was besieged. It was just taken over, and they were carried into enemy territory. And as we saw last week, even though they lost their resources, even though their lifestyle changed dramatically, even though they were no longer in their country, and the expectation of a bright future changed, it did not change their sense of identity. They knew who they were. They did not have an identity crisis. They did not have a faith crisis. They did not have a belief crisis. And what we observed last week, two things that we observed is that we can draw from that, is that the reason why they didn't have a crisis is because Daniel knew two things. He knew that God was his source. He knew that it wasn't a king or a nation that was his source. It was God. And secondly, he also knew that God was good, that God was for him, that the God he served was for him. And now they're having to deal with this new reality. They're having to deal with the fact that their future is no longer going to be what they thought it was going to be. And they're, even though they're standing by their convictions, even though they're able to stand by their own identity and be true to it, they're in a foreign land. And I imagine that they are now living a kind of life where they're getting used to this new setup. And they're thinking, you know what? It is not as good as it would have been if this hadn't happened. But at least it's not as bad as it could have been. They're in a situation where they're finding themselves in this space. I don't know if you've ever been there. If you've ever been in a situation where you had to endure a setback and you did it for a while and you kept enduring and enduring and enduring and you endured it long enough that you can't really pinpoint if you got accustomed to it, if you got used to it, or if you got callous to it, but you know one thing, it's not as painful as it used to be. You just kind of learned to live with it. Right? And it became part of your life. You used to love your job. It used to ignite you, to get you up in the morning, and you were excited about it. But then something changed. The industry changed. Something changed. Management changed. And, you know, things weren't the same anymore. Maybe you even had to get a new job. Or maybe you even had to get a pay cut. And you had to adjust. Things weren't as great. But you know what? You learned to be grateful. You learn to deal with the pain. And even though you don't enjoy your job anymore, it doesn't get you excited in the morning, you learn to live with it. Maybe it was a relationship that used to be special. It used to be so good, but now it's been a while. You've been through some trials, you've been through some passionate discussions, and now you don't celebrate each other as much. You don't enjoy each other's company as much as you used to. But at least you got somebody to fight with, right? At least you got somebody with you. At least you're not alone. You just kind of learn to live with it. You used to enjoy yourself. Love your life. Enjoy yourself. Take care of your body. Take care of your soul. You used to take time for yourself, take time for friends, take time for family, had good conversations, but then you went through some trials, you went through some difficulties, and you lost some of your spark. You lost some of your pizzazz. And now, you know, you took some of that sadness in and mixed it up, and you're going by, you're getting by, and you're learning to live with it. You know, I don't know what made you settle. But I know this. Most times, you know what makes people settle? It's not they don't have strength anymore. It's not that they don't have strength. It's not always the fact that they don't have desire to go beyond. It's not a lack of desire. And it's not even always a lack of vision. You know, sometimes people get stuck in that cycle and they settle. Because they've gotten used to looking down. They just keep looking down at this huge chasm between where they are and their dreams. They kind of can see their dreams if they lift up their eyes, but they keep looking down because they've been down there before, and they don't want to go back down there. That's why people sometimes are afraid to move on. And it happens, like I said, not because you don't have the strength. Not because you don't have the vision. Many times it's not even because you don't have the desire. It's because there's two realities, two things that are very, very true and very vivid. First is this. You don't have the resources. Things are tight. Whether it's financial resources, whether it's relational resources, maybe you don't have the people to believe in what you're thinking on the inside in your dream. Maybe you don't have the investors or the relationship, the customer base. Maybe you don't have that person that will look at you and say, you can do it, go ahead. And the second thing is, you just don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to rock the boat because things have been bad before, and now you just got used to where you are, and you don't want to rock the boat, so you're learning to live with it. Whatever it is, you've learned to live with it. And your prayer is that there may be no emergencies, right? Because whatever it is, if it's a depression or loneliness or an unhealthy habit or, you know, maybe crippling debt, you kind of have things together and you're holding on to it, right? And you just pray, God, just let me live another day. Let me live another week. Just, you don't want to rock the boat. Because one flat tire that might cost you $300, one bad week in sales could compromise the whole thing. One more fight, one more bad argument, and you know the relationship will break. So you walk on eggshells, and you're hoping that there may be no emergencies. It's so fragile. It's so vulnerable. But deep inside, there's this fear because you know life is not linear. You know that things happen in life. And sometimes life can give you a break. Sometimes you could catch a break. But you know that other times life can break you. It can really try to break you. You know, and I imagine that Daniel was in a situation very similar. I don't know if you've been there or if you're there right now. Daniel was in a similar situation. Here he is behind enemy lines in a foreign country, living his life, trying to do his best. And I don't know if he had the presence of mind to know that it was just a matter of time. After all, this guy, this king, took over his land, took over all the goods. And now there he is in a situation with no escape because the bad day came. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream that was so terrible, it was so troubling, he couldn't sleep at night. He was deeply troubled. So he called all the wise men, all the magicians, all the enchanters, and he asked them to show him his dream. And they said, sure, king, we can do that. Tell us what the dream was. Tell us your dream and we'll give you the interpretation. He said, no, not so fast. We pick up the story, Daniel chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word for me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. And they said, that's awesome. That's great. Tell us the dream. Tell us the dream and we'll give you the interpretation. He said, no. I know what you're doing. You're trying to buy time. Because if I tell you the dream, you're going to tell me whatever I want to hear. I already made you a promise that you're going to get gifts. So why would you make me mad? You know what? The word is firm. You tell me the dream and the interpretation. And they were in awe. They said, No king has ever asked us that. In fact, there's no man on earth that can meet the king's demand. So the story continues, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out. The wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Here we have a vivid picture of what rage does. Rage rises up against wisdom every time. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation or in a conversation when things got out of hand and people got enraged. You can't reason when somebody is succumbed by rage. Because this is a literal picture of what actually happens cognitively. Rage rises against wisdom. And here the king just wants, he's had it. You guys are of no use to me. I'm going to kill you all. Things were different, a little bit different 2,500 years ago. And Daniel's life was in peril. He was one of the wise men of Babylon. Now, I don't know if you can imagine being in Daniel's place. You're living a certain life. You're trying to hold it together. And you don't want to rock the boat. You're there, enduring it, and praying to God that things wouldn't get worse. Hoping not to make any sudden movements. Praying to God that things would just, you know, keep easy. And then this happens. There it is. How would you face that situation? If you were presented with that kind of emergency, with that urgent matter, how would you deal with it? How would you deal with that kind of emergency? Maybe you're not in the same situation as Daniel, because Daniel's life was being threatened by mass slaughter. This is a very extreme situation. Maybe you haven't been there. I hope you haven't been there. But how about a cease and desist letter when you're hoping that your business will take off? How about a foreclosure or eviction notice when you just need more time? How about a pink slip on your desk when you really need that job? Really, really need it. Or maybe a bad medical report when you just went in for a checkup. Or maybe that person who you envisioned and vowed and promised and hoped to live the rest of your life with walks in with divorce papers. And you're supposed to give an answer to that situation. How do you deal with emergencies? What is your response to urgent matters when the solution is required of you? When you're supposed to bring an answer right then and there. I believe this Daniel story can give us a blueprint. It shows us the way on how to deal with emergencies, on how to be ready for emergencies and urgent situations. Watch what happened next. Daniel chapter 2, verses 14 and 16. Then Daniel replied, not with outrage, not with fear. Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? He didn't even know. Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. And there's so much in this text. Let's break it down. First of all, Daniel's response. He responds with prudence and discretion. Like he's mindful of his situation, but he is cautious. He is meticulous. He has a future in mind. He's looking at the situation and he's cool, calm, and collected. The king's captain is coming to kill him. And he's like, let's talk about this for a moment. Why? Right? How could he have that posture? How could Daniel be in that position? That's the first thing that we notice. The second thing is that notice that Daniel wasn't even part of the first group of people that the king called. When the king called the best wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians to come into his presence to tell him the dream, Daniel wasn't even part of that. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't even included. He didn't stand out in the crowd. And finally, we see that Daniel committed. He committed to bringing the answer to the king before he even knew it. How? How could he have such confidence that he would know the answer? He was being prudent. Was he gambling like the others? Was he trying to buy time? That wasn't prudence. There's two things at play here, and this is not like one and two on a list. This is one and two on a sphere of depth, and we're going to look at the outer thing, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper on the center thing, the centerpiece of what caused Daniel to react and to respond this way. This is how Daniel knew that he could answer that way. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, we go back a chapter. When they were getting prepared, when they took time to study, this is what was found. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill and in all literature and wisdom. And look at this. And Daniel had understanding in all vision and dreams. Daniel knew his calling and he knew his purpose. He had a specific talent and purpose just for that time. He had spent time with God. He had been in God's presence, and God developed him understanding in visions and in dreams. So when the king had a dream, and it was perturbed, and he called the magicians, and everybody was in despair. All the magicians were losing their minds because the king wanted an answer. David was chilling, or Daniel was chilling. Daniel was confident because he knew he was made for that challenge. He knew that that was his sweet spot, so he committed to it. That's why Daniel committed to tell the king the interpretation before he even knew it. Before he even knew what the answer would be, he already knew that that was his calling. And this is a sign for you and I. You know, you gotta pay attention to those moments, because your purpose is revealed when your ability, when your talent is ignited by responsibility. When your ability meets responsibility, that is where your purpose will come alive. See, when you have a sense of responsibility and duty in a certain situation, and your talents match it, and you find a way that, you know what, there's a passion in you to address something, to fix something, to walk into a situation and say, you know what, this needs to be changed. This needs to get better. You know what, I have the solution for this. I can bring in something in this situation that can make this whole thing better. That was Daniel's position here. So your talent comes alive. Your giftings comes alive. And you want to invest in all of that. You know, some people, they're hoping to see their talents come alive by the form of a mentor coming into their lives and spotting them out of the crowd and say, you're so talented, I'm going to pour everything I know into you so that you can become all that you can become. And if you find that person, God bless you, my child. That's a father and son relationship right there. That's a mom and son relationship. That's a mom and daughter, father and daughter relationship. But I found that most times, your talents will come alive in moments of emergency, in urgent matters when everybody else is freaking out. And everybody else thinks things are dire and they're hopeless. And you're like, it's just Tuesday for me. You know, I'm fine with this. Like, I can handle it. And you can be the antidote to the rage. You can be the antidote to the fear. You can be the antidote to all the stress in that situation. Because you can come up confidently and say, I was made for this. I was built for this situation. I have the talent and the ability given by God. And I knew that sometime it was going to come alive. And this is it. It will typically come alive in an emergency. In a moment where people don't have the answer. And they're fearful. And God has already given you the answer. Before you ever saw the challenge. That's what happened to David. So he knew that when it seemed like it was the end, He had the solution. That's something for you to pay attention to. Like, when you feel like it's time to throw in the towel, when you feel like it's the end, pay attention. It could be that you have the talent. It could be that you have the ability that will bring the solution for that matter. You know, this was an emergency for the king. This was a problem for the king. For Daniel, it was just another day. And he came in with the answer. That's when your purpose will come alive as well. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in situations like that where for everybody else things are dire and they are difficult. But for you, you come alive in that situation. I think about my wife, because my wife, Alini, there are certain things that she's made for. That other people would be stressed out and find it so difficult. And she just comes alive. One of the things that she's great at is talking to people. And I'll tell you, if you ever get to sit down with her, you must be warned, you will cry. Tears shall flow. Bring your Kleenex. You know, because it's going to get real. She has that ability. She has that ability to make people feel safe. To make people feel open. She has that ability to just invite in a kind of conversation that you're hoping to have, but you don't know who to talk to, and then you're there, and you weren't hoping for it, and it's just happening, you know. But this is something that is in her, is the way she is designed. And what is amazing about her is that when she has these tough conversations and people open up their dark secrets and the things that they've gone through, she's never once, ever, in 17 years of marriage we're completing next Saturday, y'all. She's never come in and said, you will not believe what I just heard. Ever. First of all, we don't do that. We don't share stories because, you know, ethics. But when it's appropriate, and we're talking about how to make people's lives better, the stories never affect how she sees people. It never affects how she sees a person. Whatever they go through, it doesn't affect their value. And what I see is that she's built for that. Now, she was made for that. When we first met, we first met 28 years ago, but when we re-met, because then the devil tried to separate us, but we fought that devil in the name of Jesus, glory. But then when we re-met, we were 18. She was 17 and 18. Remember that. She was going to medical school. She wanted to be a medical doctor, not in any area of the hospital, specifically in the ER. She wanted to see the people at the first moment of pain. See, she can deal with pain easy. Like she would welcome in. She would wanted to help people that was like blood hurting, bones sticking out. Like she'd come alive seeing that. Like that was her plan. Like I remember having conversations. She was like, "Oh man, that's what I want to do. I might thrive in that." Me, I passed out watching Passion of the Christ, y'all. I missed the crucifixion. All I remember is Christian Bale's back, just flesh coming out, and my head going back. Can't see blood. She was eating popcorn. She was fine, just chilling. The question is, when do you know it's time for you to engage your calling? Because now if you talk to her, she knows that she is in much better position now. This is what God made her for. This is where she is. You know, her desire, she was trying to outwork her desire to help people. And God led her here. Same thing with Daniel. He spent time in God's presence learning, growing, receiving wisdom to deal with visions and dreams. And then the time came. How do you know when the time will come? How do you know when that time, when your time to step into your destiny will come? This is the second thing that is at play. And this is the centerpiece. This is the middle part of Daniel's calling. Daniel had a confidence that he could hear God's voice. He had a confidence that he could hear from God. That he knew God would speak to him and reveal him dreams. Why? Why would he have that confidence? You know, and how did he know to set up the appointment with the king before he even knew the dream? Story continues, verse 17 through 19. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel knew that he could count on God. How did he know? Because he had learned. He had learned that times of adversity are not times of despair. He knew that that was a time of preparation, of consecration, that when he was plucked out of his nation, when he was plucked out of his people, when his nation was besieged, when things happened and he was taken behind enemy lines, he didn't go party and change his life and try to absorb the local culture like the others. Notice when Daniel's country was besieged, he turned to God. He turned to God. When the king tried to get them to absorb his culture, his pagan culture, and to turn away from God, and the king offered foods that were offered to his idols, what did Daniel do? He turned to God. He said, "I'm not going to take part in that. This is a time of consecration. This is a time to seek God, of preparation." And then when the king came for his life, what did he do? He turned to God. You see the pattern here? Daniel knew where to go. And we got to know that it's not time to turn away from God or to reject God when we face difficulties. When you go through situations that might shake your boat a little bit, rock your boat a little bit, that's not a time to reject God. That's not a time to turn away from God. That's a time to go to God. That's a time when you dig your heels in and you say, God, I know that you're doing something here. I know that you're trying to do something. That's a time for you to be developed. See, an emergency wasn't the only time that Daniel went to God and that he sought God. He was seeking God all along. He had a relationship with God that was constant. He sought through it. He was with God constantly. See, I don't know what has brought you to God. Maybe you're here today and you're not really a church person, or you're not familiar with this God experience, but something ignited you to be here. Or maybe you've been in a God pursuit for some time now. I don't know what brought you to turn to God, though. Maybe it was a season of need, which is okay. You went through a season of need and you turned to God. Maybe it was tragedy. You faced something difficult, something that you didn't know how to deal with, so you came looking for that. Maybe you were curious about God. You were curious about spirituality and things that you weren't familiar with, and so you try to find out more about it. Maybe you looked around and you saw creation, you saw, you know, trees and oceans and skies and mountains and the cosmos, and you thought, man, there's got to be a God. And if there's a God, I got to be part of that. Like, I need to get to know him. I got to serve him. Or maybe, like we said, you just have learned to live with the pain. And you were minding your own business. You weren't doing your own thing. Living your life. Trying not to rock the boat. You weren't even trying to live your purpose. You're just trying to go from Monday through Friday. You weren't trying to chase your dreams or trying to live out those desires that you had on the inside. You were looking down, paying attention to what might rock your boat, because you didn't want the boat to be rocked. You didn't want things to change. You were praying for no emergencies, and then something happened. A tough, tough situation came across your path, and you didn't know what to do with it. You didn't know how to face it, so you took a step toward God. But you didn't respond like Daniel. You couldn't. You had the meltdown. You embraced the fear, and you thought that was it. You thought that was the end. You couldn't see a way beyond. But somehow, you're still here. Somehow, you're still living. Somehow, you're still going through. What I need you to know this morning is that this whole time, this entire time, your Heavenly Father has had a goal. He's had an agenda. And His desire is this. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. Sure, He wants you to succeed. Sure, He wants you to go through it. Sure, He wants you to see and fulfill your purpose. Sure, He wants you to succeed. He wants you to climb that mountain, to reach that summit. Sure, He wants your purpose to come to pass. But more than that, more than anything, He wants your heart. He wants your heart more than He wants your body. He wants your heart more than He wants your service. He wants your heart more than He wants your talents, your abilities. He wants your heart more than He wants your sacrifice. God wants your heart. This is what Jesus said. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Did you know that God wants to be your friend? He wants your heart. He wants to know that you know Him. And the quicker you realize that, the quicker you realize that God is calling you closer, that he's calling you closer to himself. The quicker you can reframe your mind to understand that he's not judging you, he's not condemning you, he's not trying to put you down, he's not casting you out of his presence. On the contrary, an emergency, an urgent matter, a situation that might be difficult is God calling you unto himself. Come to me, my child, I can help you. Come to me, my child, I can give you the solution. Come to me, my son. Come to me, my daughter. I have the answer for you, but I want your heart. God wants your heart. Can you see it? Can you see that your Heavenly Father has not forgotten about you? But that he loves you and he's calling you closer. See, intimacy makes every relationship better. When it comes to relationship, what really brings fulfillment, it's intimacy. You can have a sibling who has your blood, even lives in the same house. If you have no intimacy, you could be strangers. If there's no intimacy, you could even be enemies living under the same roof. The same is true about friendships. You know, when a friendship is healthy, when a friendship is wholesome, the more intimate it gets, the better it gets. The same is true about marriage. You know, what makes marriage special is not the ring. What gives marriage fulfillment is not a wedding ceremony. It's intimacy. Intimacy in the spirit, intimacy of emotions, emotional, spiritual, and physical intimacy. You can't have fulfillment in your marriage if there's no intimacy. But where there's intimacy, there's wholeness. Where there's intimacy, there's oneness. And the same is true between you and God. God is calling you in your own way. In your own life, he knows how to call you in. And could you listen to his voice and realize that what you're going through is not coming at you to destroy you, but he is giving you an opportunity to rely on him, to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely on you, and I'm going to take a step closer to you. I'm going to come closer to you and embrace you as my Father. I want to have a life of intimacy with you. See, when you serve God with your talents, that's a good thing. When you come here, we have an amazing team that sets all this up. That's beautiful. It's awesome. When you give God of your talents and your treasure, it's great. But nothing surpasses the kind of relationship you get into when you give God your heart. That's what he's looking for. Sure, bring your sacrifice. Sure, bring him your service. Sure, come here on Sundays and let's celebrate together. But God wants you to come closer. He wants intimacy with you. He wants friendship with you. And if you can listen to his voice in the mid of the trial, in the mid of the emergency, if you can build up a life where you can hear his voice, even when somebody or some situation is coming to take you down. Listen, Daniel's threat was real. There was no doubt that he could have been killed. The captain was under king's commands. But there was a voice that was higher than the voice of Nebuchadnezzar. There was a power that was higher than the power of Nebuchadnezzar. And the same thing is true to you. Whatever you're going through right now, I don't know, but God knows. And guess what? He is more powerful. And he loves you more than anything you might be going through. He wants you to succeed. If you do that, if you are able to have a kind of relationship with God, a kind of friendship with God, that while other people are in despair, while other people are discouraged, you are ignited. Your talent comes to life. If you are able to have a relationship with God, that when something comes to take you down, you can respond with prudence. You can respond with discretion. See? If you are able to build a kind of relationship with God where you are confident that you're going to hear His voice, you are confident that He's going to give you direction, you are confident that your tomorrow is guaranteed in His presence and that He will show you mercy, then you can go through anything and your life will truly be unbreakable. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen.